Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Welcome back to Mid-Morning Empowerment. What a beautiful segment. What a nice segment. This is part of my favorite show. You know when you're talking about something that you love, we're talking about music. That's me. When you're speaking of music, you're speaking about love. That's a love language for me, right? The time is 10:39. It is time for us to speak to John. It is time for us to speak to John Royfi, coming from the Visa Clinic. John Royfi, he will be talking to us in a short bit. We will be looking, we're still talking about the PTSD. John is on the line. John, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm very well, in yourself?
I am very well, thank you so much. So without any waste of time, let's get into our conversation for today. So to our listeners at home, this I'm talking to not Pastor. Oh my goodness. I'm talking to Brother John, coming from the Visa Clinic. He'll be talking to us about mental health awareness, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD in first responders and health care. So they are the first to arrive at accidents, natural disasters and violent incidents. But who helps them when the trauma becomes too much? PTSD among first responders and healthcare workers is often overlooked. Today we explore how these everyday heroes cope with the burden of what they see and experience. So my brother, why are the first responders and healthcare workers at high risk for PTSD?
A big part of it is the ongoing intense exposure to traumatic events. Something that is interesting, we don't get traumatized, and even first responders don't get traumatized from things they expect, if I can call it that.
Right.
It's usually things that we don't expect. Sure. You know, having been there myself, You have a certain expectation going to a particular scene. You've been told, say, it's a car accident.
Mm.
What you're not prepared for, perhaps, is what you find there. And as I say, the ongoing, intense, day in, day out exposure to this, the more you see it, the higher the exposure, the higher the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Other factors that play a role is limited resources, limited time to rest. And then there's the understanding, but I'll touch on that a little bit more later. One of the things that occurred to me this morning was that a lot of the guys, because of just plain day in, day out financial state, take on extra shifts, take on extra time, which again lessens the time to rest, and then of course increases that exposure.
Sure.
Yeah.
And how does repeated exposure to trauma affect their mental health over time?
One of the biggest things is we become emotionally numb. Trouble sleeping is quite common. As we know, with PTSD, reliving traumatic events, reliving what we've gone through, sometimes, shall I say, self-appropriation, making it part of our own life. You know, we've only got so much coping ability. And if they are worn out due to overexposure, we might start asking ourselves, you know, what if this happened to me? What if this happened to my family? And so we know of a first responder who refused to have a swimming pool at their house because of an experience they had out in the field.
Sure.
So it has a massive impact. You know, your a lot of the guys start being hyper vigilant towards possible trauma, possible danger, possible threats, which can lead to other things, and then of course eventually learning or becoming a burnout.
And how can first responders and healthcare workers process and cope with trauma events?
You know, one of the biggest things to talk about it, even if it's a trusted colleague, a family friend, family, someone that you can just unload to, of course, you run the risk of traumatizing those people. So sometimes it's so much better to speak to a professional. Unfortunately, that's not always available. Something that's very important is self-care to set boundaries, to say, I'm going to put whatever I need to put in place to get enough sleep, to eat well, to exercise, to really take care of myself, and to be aware of the symptoms, or let's call them the warning signs, as we've discussed in previous sessions, so that the moment you become aware of them, you can immediately start doing something about it. And then another one, which is very prevalent, unfortunately, is self-medication, as they like to call it, or unhealthy coping mechanisms such as alcohol use or substance abuse. Because these unfortunately make PTSD and other symptoms worse over time, because you're not really dealing with the problem. Building a strong supportive relationships to have a support network is also important. Those kind of things might really help, but it really starts with the person.
Right. Oh, thank you so much, brother, for that. And are there enough mental health resources available for these professionals?
You know, generally speaking, there aren't enough health professionals. End of story. To answer the question in short, no, not really. But it brings me to a very big point, which is, I must say, not to toot our horn, but it's something that Vista really worked hard on. And it's to break the stigma. You know, again, especially, well, that was my experience on the first respondents, the crazy label was a very big label to stay away from.
Right.
And if you are seen going into a psychologist's office or going to find help, or someone says, oh, I'm not coping, then people start looking at you differently. You know, so one of the resources I think that we can develop rather than is education.
Right.
So that to say, you know, being okay, not being okay is okay. Rather go find assistance where you can, rather speak up when you can, when you see the sign, than keeping quiet because of worrying about being labeled as crazy.
And what do organizational culture and policies impact the development and treatment of PTSD in the first responders and healthcare workers?
You know, one of the things that non-understanding, as I said earlier, we back to, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but again, understanding and education. We still sit with so many organizations and societies, communities rather, thinking of it as first responders must be made of steel. They're not allowed to say anything. You know, in our country, especially men, we've got an expression for it, tigers don't cry. And so, again, we're back to not reporting, not talking. So creating a culture that supports mental health, being open about it, being able to talk about it, creating access to better health resources, peer programs, you know, even if it's a bit of a social program where people just sit and talk and say, this was this was happening in my week or this happened in my month.
Right.
Ongoing training, education. This is what it is. This is what it looks like. This is what you should look out for. So, again, commending you guys for having this program. And then from an organizational point of view, encouraging people to rather take time off when it's due to them, to take time off when they see the symptoms, rather than pushing and pushing until they reach PTSD or burnout. And similarly, the community, you know, when you see a first responder, be nice to them, say hi. Friendly, they are there to help. If you encounter them anywhere, try and be helpful rather than being opposed or hostile, even. And in communities, maybe supporting them with a bit of help, a bit of access, even community centers, people who are in the know, people who have the resources, maybe develop some program. And make it available to these guys. And then lastly, confidentiality. You know, if I know it's safe to talk, then I might talk. But if I'm scared, then I'm not going to.
Right. You know what? I've seen someone from the first responders. They were using alcohol. Like they were drinking a lot. And I was thinking to myself, maybe it's their coping mechanism because now they're trying to numb whatever they are working on or whatever they see on their daily lives. So how can we help those ones that they try to numb their pain or whatever we may call it using alcohol? How can we help those ones?
Again, it would be good to allow them to speak.
Okay.
Remind them that, you know what, you don't have to be strong all the time. You can take downtime. It's okay to speak up. It's okay to say, you know what, that call I went to today, that scene I attended today, that really shook me. That really got to me. It's okay to talk about it.
Right.
If people are already using something to try and cope, perhaps reminding them that you're not taking care of the core problem. You are actually exacerbating it. Because what you're saying is right. It is a coping mechanism. It's a negative coping mechanism.
Right.
It's something that people do to try and numb the pain.
Sure. And what strategies can be used to promote resilience and prevent PTSD in the first responders and healthcare workers?
Again, being able to be open and honest about it, to talk about it, for them to on a daily basis take care of themselves, taking care of their physical well-being. You know, what we take in makes a difference. Getting enough exercise, getting enough rest in, having a support network, and then again from a broader perspective, having a support network, making sure there's enough downtime. You know, something as simple as a hobby,
right,
to something that can just give me an outlet where I go and see that, hey, you know what, with all the nastiness I see, there is still good in the world. There is still nice in the world. Being able to just offload and get rid of any negativities.
Right. Second last, before I let you go, my brother, what are the most common symptoms of PTSD in these populations?
One of the most prevalent ones is where it becomes, can we call it part of my daily life, where I constantly have flashbacks, reliving what I saw, making it my own, starting to question. I call it taking it home.
Right.
Where I don't leave the scene on the scene. I rethink it. I go over it again. I try and see. Self-blame, guys sometimes say, I should have done better, should have done more. That can be a sign. Starting to think, can I call it irrationally about it? Instead of saying, I did what I could, I gave it my all instead of saying I should have been faster, I should have been better, I should have been whatever. Asking, starting to doubt oneself. And as we always say, you know, mood or personality shifts is a big, let's call it a red flag.
Sure. Last one, my brother. And how can communities and employers better support first responders with PTSD?
You know, the biggest thing probably is understanding.
When you
understanding and then education of others, getting the rest of the organization to understand what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like, communities in general should be able to have an understanding and an insight. As I mentioned earlier, seeing these people as human. Maybe creating support structures, maybe helping them out with a donation so that they can have better facilities, better equipment. Because that's another, I almost forgot to say, that's another facet of first responders where the equipment sometimes is just not enough. It's just not there. And that causes frustration as well. So wherever donations are available, understanding, education, treating them as human, and putting on a friendly face for them. You know, especially with police officers, we often almost scared of them and almost defensive to them. They're also human. They're there to help.
Wow. Powerful one, my brother. Before I let you go, is there anything you'd like to add?
You know, I'd like to reiterate PTSD, any psychiatric illness, really, it doesn't mean you're crazy.
Right.
Doesn't mean that you must be isolated or ostracized. Talk about it rather than hiding it. Don't try and deal with it by yourself. Rather reach out. Rather get the help you need. It can be healed.
Wow, powerful one, my brother. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Right. To our listeners at home, that was Brother John Royfe, coming from the Visa Clinic, talking to us about the awareness of mental health awareness post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, in the first responders and healthcare workers.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. Yeah.